Let us pray. Jesus of Nazareth, we enthrone you this morning. We lift up your name and we glorify you. We ask, O Lord, that as we gather before you this morning, that you will touch us, you will change us, you will build us up, O Lord, and you will lift us up in the mighty name of Jesus. You said in your word that the word that you speak to us, they are life and they are spirit. Lord, let the life in your word come alive in us today in Jesus' name. Let the word become flesh in us and dwell within us, O Lord, and be inscribed upon our hearts, O Lord, that we will never forget them. In the mighty name of Jesus, let there be a building up this morning. Let there be a lifting up this morning. Let there be a blessing this morning. Let there be a promotion this morning. Let there be a hope in this place this morning. Let there be joy overflowing this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' wonderful, mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are continuing our series on Divine Commission. It looks like not many people is interested in this particular topic in terms of getting teachers to teach it. It looks old and archaic. So but the truth about it is that it has implication for our Christian life and our Christian living. That's why, like I've told us before, I like the book of Hebrews. It basically tells us that the things in the Old Testament, they are a foreshadow of the things to come. They are a foreshadow of the dispensation we are in right now. So, and I'm sure when we go back to read our Bibles now, they are going to have a different meaning to us. Because in the past, I'm sure we just read through this and said, it measured 30 cubits by this, it measured that by that. We just go through it without necessarily being able to appreciate what it is all about. So it's not for fun that God has taken time that it be recorded, all those things be recorded. If it's not necessary, it would not have been recorded. So everything that is recorded is for our benefit. And I believe that as we deliberate on this topic, God himself will bless us in Jesus' name. This morning we are looking at the consecration and sanctification of the priest. The what? The consecration and sanctification of the priest. What does it mean to consecrate somebody? What does it mean to consecrate? Consecration and sanctification of the priests. So what does it mean to consecrate? When you say you consecrate, not concentrate, consecrate. Okay. So, yeah, consecrate, yeah. Okay, dedication, give yourself for something, yeah? To set aside, right? To separate for a purpose, is to be identified. Identify, set aside, and sort of commissioned for a purpose is to be consecrated. And of course, we know sanctification, that is actually separation unto the Lord. So we're talking about the consecration and sanctification of the priests. We've been reading we've read Exodus chapter 40 before. Can we just quickly... Okay, let's read Exodus chapter 28, verse 40 and 41. We've read Exodus 40 before, so if we need to make reference to it, we'll go there. Exodus 28, 40 and 41.
And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shall anoint them, and I'll consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office.
Amen. So, God gave an instruction telling Moses to set aside some people. Not just set them aside, he asked Moses to clothe them in a certain way that would distinguish them from other people. He asked that they be clothed in a certain way that would distinguish them from other people, so that people will identify them as priests. Let's look at Leviticus 9. Verse 6 and 7, Leviticus 9, 6 and 7.
That ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar, and offer thy sin's offering, and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself, and for the people, and offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them, as the Lord commanded. Aaron therefore went unto the altar, and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger in the blood, and put it upon the horns of the altar, and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering, he burnt upon the altar.
Praise the Lord. Maybe we should just leave it there. We are trying to skip read because we are following that same series that we've been reading before. We have gotten to a point that Moses, in fulfilling the work of the house of the Lord, remember, the tabernacle has been built. After the tabernacle was built, the tabernacle was erected. Now, there were people to minister in the tabernacle. In other words, there were people to stand in the presence of God. And God also gave specific instructions concerning the people who were to stand in his presence. So he commanded Moses to do certain things. In other words, set them aside, sanctify them, and present them before him. Not only that, Moses was also to instruct them in terms of what they are to do when they get to the presence of God. And Moses instructed Aaron as to what he was to do for God to appear to him. And that's what we read in Leviticus chapter 9 here, verse 6 and 7. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you. In other words, it's only when we do what God asks us to do that we will have the benefit of the presence of God. In other words, God will only appear or come to a place where he's been obeyed. Remember our Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, where his will is being done. That's what Jesus said to. That's why he said that his will be done Where his will is being done, God will appear there. That was what he told Aaron. So if we will do according to this instruction, then the presence of God will go with you. We are the modern priests. We are the called of the Lord. If we want the presence of God to go with us, so that we are not defeated, so that we are not confounded by the enemy, we better do it as God has asked us to do. We live in an era of fake miracles. What did I say? Era of fake miracles. Why? Because we simply don't do what God asks us to do. And so we want to fake it so that it looks like the real thing. Let me share a story with you. How many weeks ago, about some 3-4 weeks ago, I was reading this story of a church in Nigeria. They had, those of us in Nigeria, we are familiar with this, a crusade. They had a crusade. And so they were preaching. I mean, the general overseer of the church was preaching. And on the crusade ground. And the word of wisdom came from the general overseer of the church, telling one of the businessmen in the church. Are you listening to me? He told one of the businessmen in the church that some occultic people had gone to his house to bury some charms there. And that it was meant to destroy him, his family, and his business. And so they needed to remove the charm. The man of God, the businessman was obviously afraid. Right there on the crusade ground, they sent the next in line, like the assistant pastor, with this man and some elders in the church to go and pray while the crusade was going on, while the man was preaching, to go and pray in order to break the curse and the charm that was planted there. So they got there, they started praying. Everyone closed their eyes. Unbeknown to them, the businessman did not close his eyes. And as they were praying, the assistant pastor brought out the charm from his pocket to put on the ground, and the guy held him. I'm talking seriously, something that just happened. They took the man, of course, he told them that it was the Geo who asked him to do that. They took him to the crusade ground, and the Geo was still, preaching. They took both of them and beat them properly. Because we don't do what God tells us to do. We want to fake miracles. But that's what people do now. If the guy had not opened his eyes at that time, he would have become enslaved to them. They will be taking his money, ruling his family, tell him when to sit down, tell him when to stand up, tell him when to go out, tell him when to come in, because he'll be believing that there is something there. But it's only when we do things in obedience to God that God will follow us and miracles will follow us. So the first thing is, remember the Bible said, "This sign shall follow them that believe." First is the believing, then the signs. It's not the signs, then the believing. We want to see signs in order to believe. There were some people who came to Jesus and wanted him to show signs. What did he say? He said, "I'm not going to show you the sign. The only sign you see is the sign of Jonas." I have a message titled "The Sign Seeking Generation." One of these days, we will share it again. The sign-seeking generation. A lot of people have gotten into trouble. instead of being obedient to God, they look for signs. Signs will not follow you if you don't obey God. But when you obey God, signs will follow. Praise the Lord. He said, after setting up and consecration of the tabernacle, God commanded that Aaron and his sons be washed, invested with their holy garments, and anointed with special anointing oil, which had been prepared according to God's specifications. So, our own garment is what? Is holiness and righteousness. In who? In Jesus Christ. Not in any other thing. That is our garment. That should mark us for a difference. So that when we stand, when we come out, that is what God will see in us. That is what God will do what? Will see in us. And we will look appealing to him. He said this was necessary to induct the priests into their service, which should commence immediately, and also to confer on them the divine unction of the Holy Spirit with the oil symbolized. Bible scholars and historians tell us that this practice of anointing priests for service in the tabernacle continued among the Jews till the first coming of Jesus Christ, the true high priest whom the Old Testament types pointed to. But what do we have these days? Are there expectations? Before we anoint people, before we consecrate people, do we have expectations anymore? What are the expectations we have of them? Before we, as a church, before we ordain someone, do we have expectations? There has to be certain things that needs to be met as far as God has instructed us to do. There are certain conditions that needs to be met. He said, Moses obeyed the Lord and he anointed the priest as he was directed. Obedience to God was one of the hallmarks of the life and ministry of Moses. We often find the phrase, and Moses did as the Lord commanded. For this reason, God judged him to be faithful in his entire house. Numbers 12, 6 to 8. Let's open to Numbers 12, verse 6 to 8.
Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house.
Praise the Lord. God did what? Commended Moses. He said he's faithful in all my house. Now, as children of God, who do we wait to commend us? Who do we expect to commend us? God. But did the children of Israel commend Moses? They did not. And I think this is where we miss it a lot. When we have to take a stand for God, we must not wait for people to commend us. We have to wait for the approval of God. We must allow Jesus himself to say that, you see, let me tell you something. When you are doing what is right, you will know. Because the Spirit of God will witness to your spirit that you are doing what is right. Unfortunately, what happens is this. We wait for people to actually approve of the things we do. And I keep telling us, there's one preaching that there's one thing that we often say, and it's very common. We say, look, when you behave like Jesus, people will flood to you. People will do this. People will do that. Is it really true? Only God will actually commend you. Because there's an underlying assumption that when we behave like Christ, the world will recognize that you are like Christ. And so, No, because the world does not even know Christ. The Bible says spiritual things are what? Are spiritually discerned. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, how can you correctly discern it? So it will be wrong to think that somebody will recognize you as behaving like Jesus Christ when you're actually behaving like one. Can you imagine you getting to somewhere and you see people doing things in the world we live in now, and you get a cord of rope or something like that, and you start to beat them and chase them out of that place? Will people think you are like Christ? They will not. They will not. Aha. So you can see. The same Christ that loved, that same Christ, he knew when to say, look, get out of this place. Because the Bible said, for the love of his soul consumed him at that point. And he came out and said, no, you can't be there. So instead they will say, you didn't love. That if you love like Christ, you wouldn't have done that. So sometimes, as children of God, we must not wait for people to approve of us. We let God approve of us. Praise the Lord. And God will approve of you in the mighty name of Jesus. That is why we are doing what we are doing. We were talking, let's quickly open to Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 to 38. Exodus 40, 34 to 38. I'm sure we already know that as a believer, we are the priest of the Most High in this dispensation. And so all these things apply to us. Exodus 40, 34 to 38.
And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. 36. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. 37. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys.
Praise the Lord. After everything has been completed, after obedience to God, the presence of God, like we said earlier on, came to dwell with the children of Israel, appeared unto the Lord, but not unto them. But not only that, the presence of the Lord was guiding them. In other words, in obedience, we receive divine guidance. So the cloud will point to them the direction they should take, and the fire will appear to lead them in the direction they should take. So in obedience, we receive guidance. In other words, when you have a child that listens to you, you become more interested in that child. But when you have a child that says, look, it's my affairs, I don't want you prognosing, I'm big enough now, don't say anything. After some time, you don't leave the child to his or her own devices. And you hope that they learn from experience. How does this apply to us? What it means for us is that there are some experiences that we need not have to be who God wants us to be. But because we don't obey him, we have to go through some of those things. And we learn on our own. The cloud of his presence. I will just read from here. It says, after Moses had set up the tabernacle and put in place its furniture and the priesthood, God manifested his approval of the entire work by overshadowing it with the emblems of his divine presence, the cloud of glory and the pillar of fire. From this, we learn that when a man builds on God's pattern and submits himself to the divine will, God will set his seal of approval on the result of his labor. If our lives conform to the divine pattern, his presence will abide with us also. On the contrary, God will never associate his presence or glory with anything sinful or abominable. Now, can you see why we will manufacture miracles? That is why we will manufacture miracles. When the seal of God is not with us, we have to do some abracadabra to make people believe. So, therefore, a life that is inconsistent with the scriptures, worldly or marked with self-will, cannot attract God's presence. At the setting up of the tabernacle, God's glory dwelt in it, and thus the Lord remained present with his people in the wilderness journey. The same manifestation of God's glory, which led and comforted them through the journey from Egypt, now rests upon the tabernacle and also guided them until they enter Canaan. God had earlier promised that he will meet with them and that the tabernacle will be sanctified by his glory. So, if we build in accordance to God's instruction, God will sanctify it. You know what? Everything we sow for the sake of the kingdom, everything we do for the sake of the kingdom, the seal of approval of God would dwell on it when we do it for the right cause, for the right purpose, and with the right mind. And of course, when we do it, and the reason we do it is because we're doing it in obedience to God. That is what we learn here in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. He says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." So in other words, everything we do because of him, God counts it as unrighteousness if he forgets. If he forgets and it's not credited to your account, God counts it as what? As unrighteousness on his part. And of course, there's no unrighteousness with him. So, that means he will forever remember. And you know, the good thing is that the blessing that God has for you may be so much that he believes that you cannot expend it in your lifetime. And it spills over to your children and your children's children. Praise the Lord. We've seen that in the Bible before. When God formed a covenant with David, he decided to bless him in a way that will outlive him. And the blessings of God upon your life as you live in obedience to him will outlive you in Jesus' name. Do you know what? Anything we do, anything that we dream of that will not outlive us is a small dream. Is a very, very small dream. Our dream should be such that they will outlive us. They will affect lives. They will live after us. Lastly, the cloud of glory led the children of Israel, and all they needed to do was to follow it. So in other words, our life can be easier if we allow God to do what? To guide us. So life can be what? Can be much easier. But there's something in us that does not like to follow. Honestly, I don't understand. There is something in us that does not like to do what? To follow. Maybe it's just man. Maybe it's just, you know, when God says this is the way, when God says this is my light, don't go into darkness. Is it not just simple? When God says, look, if you do this, my presence will be with you, is it not just simple enough? But there's always something about us that wants to find out what's on the other side. And I'm telling you, the experience of the other side may not be very pleasant. I remember when I was young, I just left our village to live with my older brother. And in our village, we did not have electricity that time. In fact, not many people, there was no NEPA then. No. We used to have what is called ECN. It's an Electrical Corporation of Nigeria. I don't know if many of us know this. It was in the very early 70s. So when I arrived there, one of the first instructions, now, Justin, you're going to laugh at this. One of the first instructions my brother gave me was to tell me that electricity could kill. He told me, he said, electricity, he said, that thing can kill. He told me stories of different people who had died from electricity. And I remember you, you know, you are telling me how you told my son. So when he told me that electricity could kill, and many of us will remember in those days, you used to have bed switch. You have light running, you know, and it will come to the bed. And then there was this wire that came, and it was joined somewhere. So my brother had told me, this is what happens. So when he was not at home, I went, I started peeling. I thought if I was just careful enough, unbeknown to me, that one of the wire was sticking out. So before I actually got to the wire, my hand touched it. And the thing flung me. Many of us are still like me. That when God says this is the way to follow, we want to try what's on the other side. Actually, I did try. It wasn't a pleasant experience. Of course, when my brother came back and said, you know, what happened? How did it? I said I was trying to take something from under the bed and my body touched it. He knew, of course, that I had gone there to do something. The same way we still do. It's very interesting enough. We want to find out what's on the other side. And it's often very unpleasant. If only we would just follow. God will give us the courage to just follow him. In Jesus' name. I think Adeni has done better than me. Because when Justin instructed him that there's light there, electricity could kill, Justin said he was afraid. He treated it with caution. Praise the Lord. You know, if only we just treat it with caution when God says that these are things not to do. Now, just to wrap up, if you look at our bulletin, it says, at the beginning of the book of Exodus, an ominous cloud of persecution and oppression overshadowed the children of Israel. They groaned under the burden of slavery, and it was as if they would never survive against the onslaught of Satan and the devices of his agents. But it is cheering to know that God intervened on behalf of Israel. And the book ended with the same people serving God as free men with the cloud of glory overshadowing and dwelling with them. This morning, I don't know what your situation is. Your end can be greater than your beginning. And indeed, will be greater than your beginning in Jesus' name. What appears to be darkness, confusion, and hopelessness, the light of God will shine upon it in Jesus' name. As the priest of the Most High, God expects us that will be consecrated and will wear the robe of righteousness and truth before him. And his presence will dwell with us in Jesus' name. If we have any questions, or if God has been speaking to us one way or the other, and we just want to share it with the children of God, please, in 2 minutes, can we share it? We're talking about consecration and sanctification of the priests. And I started out by saying that I believe that as many of us, I mean, now when we go back to read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, all those books, we'll read it with a difference. Because the Bible says that the things written there, they are a foreshadow of the things to come. Remember that many of the people, even the apostles, these were the things they had to read. The Torah. Was it not what they had to read? That was what they had to read. When they talk about the book of the law, this is what they had to read. And of course, the Psalms and the other things, these were the things they had to read. And they could see what God was intending to do in their time. So when we read it, let's read it with an eye of faith and see what God wants for this dispensation. Any questions? Contributions? Okay. Please, can we just rise on our feet as we thank God for His word? Let's thank God for His word this morning. It's about consecration and sanctification. In other words, separation and setting aside of people who will serve God. Let's thank Him for His word. Let's thank Him for His word. We thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You for that which You have taught us. We thank You for that, for the way You have led us this morning. We know it's not for fun, but to bring about a change in our lives. We ask that Your word will not be wasted on us, but Your word will do that which You have sent it to do in our lives today. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now I want you to pray. Ask God to set you aside for His glory. Ask God to set you aside for His glory. Father, set me aside for Your glory. That all the days of my life, that I will proclaim Your goodness, and I will proclaim Your almightiness. I will proclaim Your salvation, and I will proclaim Your saving grace. I will be able to stand and tell of Your goodness. Lord, set me aside for Your glory. Set me aside to be of use to You. Set me aside, oh yes, for that which You want to do. Glorify Yourself in my life. Magnify Yourself in my life. Use me for the purpose of Your glory. Thank You, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. Is the engrafted word that is able to save our soul. We receive it and we ask, O Lord, that they will do that which You want them to do in our lives today in Jesus' name. By the time we live here, O Lord, none of us will remain the same. We will have moved from glory to glory because we will have a deeper understanding of You. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.